whenever you do a sugya and you're trying to get into the shakta b'taya, so sometimes it gets a little complicated. So I'd like to try to say it over clearly, quickly and clearly. Hopefully we'll have some success with that. Okay. The Ritva learned that the issue of that, the only chiyuv, when you have the shofar and the chatzotzros, the only chiyuv is to hear the shofar. You don't have to hear the chatzotzros. He understood that the concept of treikali means that I can't hear anything. I can't hear the shofar, I can't hear the chatzotzros, I'm not able to hear anything. So the Gemara had said, how can you blow the shofar and the chatzotzros at the same time? You're not going to be able to hear the shofar, and that's what we care about. So the Gemara responded, and the Gemara said, that's why we're marich with the shofar. So that way you're hearing the shofar by itself. Then the Gemara points out, oh, but we have rayas that you can't be yotze with miktsas tekiah. You can't be yotze with just part of the sound. So the Gemara says, you're right. And the Gemara introduces that when a limitation on this psul called treikali, or this problem of treikali, a limitation, that when it's emanating from two different sources, and it's something that's very, very chaviv to you, so the din is that you're able to focus and you're able to concentrate and hear one. And therefore, in the case of the shofar, that's not the reason we're marich. We're marich for side reasons. In Achanami, you only need to hear the shofar, but because the shofar sound is so chaviv to you, so you're able to concentrate and to decipher, or to be, you're able to hear the sound of the shofar, even though there's chatzotzros making all this noise in the background. You're able to hear the shofar. And that's the maskana of the Gemara. So for the Ritva, at the end of the day, you still only need to hear the shofar. And the whole concept of Trei Kali, the chiddush of our sugi was that even though normally Trei Kali means I can't hear anything, there are times when a person can concentrate and focus and hear one thing, even though there's other noises going on at the same time. That's how the Ritva learns the sugya. The Turei Evan, the Shagas Aryeh, so he notes that when the Gemara asked the question of Trei Kali, it asked it based on a chazal about Shamar V'Zachar. That Shamar V'Zachar is described by chazal as something that is not audible to the human ear. To the human ear. Zachar V'Shamar. And as the Turei Evan points out, L'chaora, by Zachar V'Shamar, we are all mitzuvah in both Zachar and Shamar. The mitzvot Aseh and the mitzvot Los Aseh of Shabbos. So the statement by HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Zachar V'Shamar is something that we had to hear both. So the Chazal are telling me I can hear both. That's what Trei Kali. When Chazal have this concept called Trei Kali, it means I can't hear two things at the same time. Doesn't mean I can't hear one of them. Maybe Ein Achanami, if I would focus, we would know. If I could focus, I could hear one of them. The whole question of Trei Kali seems to be assuming that we want to hear two things, and Chazal tell us that you can't hear both, but maybe you could hear one. So if the Ritva is correct that you only need to hear the shofar, the question from Zachar V'Shomer wouldn't be a good question. So therefore, the Turei Evan maintains, this is a classic case where you have an Achron taking something that the Rishon said, and he's just almost like upping it one, he's like bringing it up an octave. The whole discussion, he raises it up a whole other level. He says, the Turei Evan, that from the beginning of the sugya, we knew this idea that the Ritva thinks is the big maskana of the sugya. The Turei Evan says, we knew that the whole time. If you concentrate, you can hear one thing. That was never our issue. If you only had to hear the shofar, we wouldn't have had a problem. The reason we have a problem in our sugya is because you need to hear both the shofar and the chatzotzos. They're both chiyuvim to hear. What do I mean by that? The chatzotzos are chiyuv to hear? What's the other option? So the option is the chatzotzos a mitzvah tkiyah? Or is the chatzotzos the mitzvah that you have to actually hear the chatzotzos? So the Turei Evan says, it's clear, the shofar and the chatzotzos, you have to hear both. And therefore the Gemara, when it asked, it wasn't asking from Trei Kali, oh, I can't hear anything. It was asking, I can't hear both. So how did the Gemara respond? The Gemara responded and said, okay, that's why we're marich with the shofar. What do you mean that's why we're marich with the shofar? When the chatzotzos and shofar are being heard simultaneously, so you'll focus on the chatzotzos and you'll hear the chatzotzos. But you can't hear both. So we're marich with the shofar. That way, after you've heard the chatzotzos, by ignoring and focusing on the chatzotzos, you'll hear the sound of the shofar afterwards. That was the Gemara's suggestion. The Gemara responded and said, but that's miksas shofar. Because when you were drowning out, when you were ignoring the shofar to focus on the chatzotzros, You weren't hearing the shofar. And then when we're marich with the shofar, you're only hearing a mikzah shofar. So the Gemara says, you're right. And the Gemara introduces its limitation. But for the Turi Eben, we're going to see that the limitation is very different. Says the Turi Eben, you know what the Gemara introduces and says? It says that when something is chaviv, and it's coming from two different sources, you can actually hear two things at the same time. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. You needed to hear shofar and chatzotros. You thought you can't do that because of Zachar V'Shamor? Zachar V'Shamor is different. It's coming from one source. But tekios of the shofar and the chatzos, since they're coming from two different sources and they're chaviv, so you can actually hear both at the same time. So for the Turei Evan, the discussion was, how am I going to be able to hear two things at the same time? And the maskana is, because it's chaviv, you can. So again, according to the Ritva, just to summarize in two sentences, according to the Ritva, the discussion in the Ritva was, how am I going to hear the shofar? And the maskana was, because it's chaviv, you can hear the shofar. That's not the problem of Trei Kali. And according to the Turei Evan, the discussion was, right, where the Ritva left off the sugya, that's the Turei Evan starting point. And for the Turei Evan, the need was to be able to hear both. And the maskana is, because it's chaviv, you can actually hear both. What does Rashi hold? How did he learn the sugya? So, I want to suggest a ha'ara a little bit later in the perek, which I think would maybe hint to us what Rashi holds. Let's see if you like it. The Gemara says later in the perek, in the Masechta, excuse me, that what a funny situation. You have to hear nine blasts, okay? You have to hear nine blasts. So let's say you have nine different people, each one has a shofar, and at the same time, they all blow a blast. Are you Yotze? So the Gemara says you're not Yotze. So Rashi says, you know why you're not Yotze? He says, some people say you're not Yotze because Trei Kali. How are you going to hear all these nine blasts? He says, but we know that's not true because the Gemara already said that by Chaviv things like Shofar, there's no problem with Trei Kali. So you know why you're Yotze? Why you're not Yotze? Because Shofar needs to be blown in an order. You need to have an opening blast, and then a middle blast, and then a concluding blast. That's the reason why you're not Yotze when you have nine people blowing at the same time. So what does Rashi hold like? So you see from there, I think, that you see that Rashi learns like the Turei Evan. Because Rashi there says, some people think the reason you're not Yotze when all nine are at the same time is because of Trei Kali. But that's not true. We've already dealt with that. It's Chaviv. There's no problem with Trei Kali. So that is a Turei Evan answer. That Trei Kali, the din of the Chiddush of the Gemara of Chaviv was that when something's Chaviv, you can hear you can hear things simultaneously. You can hear multiple sounds simultaneously. That was the Chiddush of our sugya. Right? According to the Ritva, the Chiddush of our sugya was you can ignore one thing and focus on another. But according to the Turei Evan, the maskana of our sugya was you can actually hear multiple things at the same time. So when Rashi says, you know why you're not Yotze when nine people bless, it's not because of Trei Kali. We already dealt with that problem. So that is a Turei Evan perspective on the maskana, not a Ritva perspective. And therefore, it could be that we have a raya that the Rashi learned like the Turei Evan in our sugya and not like the Ritva. Okay, yeah.
According to the Turei Evan, then why were they marech the shofar?
Oh, so the Gemara says at the end that the marech the shofar is just for symbolic reason to show that there's the shofar is the real ikker thing that we want. But it's for a side reason.
I thought that when the Turei Evan said that when they're both blown together, you should be listening to the chatzotzos, and then after the chatzotzos stop and you hear the shofar, now you should listen to the shofar. I thought that
he's suggesting that in the Havamina, in the earlier stage of the Gemara. Yeah, it's a little complicated in Turei Evan. In general, the Turei Evan's a little bit of a complicated read in general. Shagas Aryeh also happens to be very complicated to read. Shagas Aryehs are known for being complicated to read. But yeah, that's in the Havamina that he suggests that. Okay. Vaiter in the Gemara, done with Trei Kali. So the Gemara says now that on the shofar of a Tanis had a silver coated mouthpiece, as opposed to the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which had a gold coated mouthpiece. So the Gemara asks why. Why do we switch from gold to silver? So the Gemara gives two answers. One, which is, I don't know if the word is, if it's intrinsic, but one is that the silver is especially, something that has to do with silver itself. It's especially fitting for a tanis because kasef is the metal of choice when we want to do kinufia. And the second answer of the Gemara is that it's a problem with gold. Not that it's a mila of kesef, but gold is very expensive, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chas on Mamon and Shei Yisrael, so he doesn't require us to use gold for the Tane shofars as well. It was pointed out during morning Seder that, if Hashem really cares about our money, so why don't we just use the shofar from Rosh Hashanah on the Tanis? You know, why do we have to create a separate shofar for the Tanis? Just use the gold one from Rosh Hashanah for the Tanis. So I thought to say that maybe this is a good indication of the idea that for Yantiv, you're supposed to have things that are miyuchad for Yantiv and not use them for other purposes. You know, you're supposed to have a special suit for Yantiv, even more than Big Day Shabbos, even though the Kedusha of Shabbos is considered to be on a higher level than Yantiv, but specifically by clothing, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. You're supposed to have clothing that's special for Yantiv that are even nicer than your Shabbos clothing. So I thought maybe it would be an indication like that, although... okay, yeah, the question whether it comes from Kadosh, from Kedusha, or from Kavod, or from Oneg. But I thought a nice suggestion that was also that was made was that it could be that this is going back to the Tosfos that we suggested yesterday, that Tosfos was Mechadesh in the Mishnah, that for the Tanis you actually needed two shofars, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah where you used one. So if Rosh Hashanah they only made one, and there was only one that had the gold-coated mouthpiece, so for the Tanis they needed to create a second one. So once they're creating a second one, they're not going to make one out of gold and one out of silver. So they're not going to use the gold one and then add a silver one. So they ended up making two silver ones. I guess then it just raises the question of what's cheaper, to make two silver or to just make one extra gold. But I guess then we'll bring the Yantiv issue in for that. Okay, that's just a side point.
Somebody to pipe up here about Katsegar and Sonegar?
You mean that the shofar mouthpiece... okay, you're saying because it's Lizzie Caron.
I could have seen somebody
and it's
saying
Kibifnim. Right, I hear. That's a good point. That's a good point. I didn't see anything on it, though. The whole idea here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chas al mamon shel Yisrael, so just some basic ideas about, I think for the rest of the shiur today, we're going to be talking about topics that I think you probably don't know as much about. They're a little bit less... topics are discussed less, and I hope that'll be interesting for you to learn some new material, not only analysis of what we're doing, but some new material. There is an interesting discussion, just in terms of Yedios, of what the source is for this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chas al mamon shel Yisrael. Rashi here on the page quotes it from the din of Negaim by Abayas. We know that the house doesn't become inflicted, where it doesn't halachically become inflicted with tzaras until the Kohen actually proclaims the house to have tzaras. And therefore, the din is that we remove all the important valuables from the house before we bring the Kohen, in order that when the Kohen says the house is tameh, it doesn't ruin and it doesn't defile all of the property that you have within the house. So that is quoted by Rashi here as the source for that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chas al mamon shel Yisrael. He doesn't want all of our nechasim to become tameh. However, Rashi al Torah in Parshas Bamidbar quotes a different source. When the Torah there describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the Selah, and the Lashon Evishkisa Sa'eda V'es B'iram. So Rashi there comments, why is Hashem telling Moshe, we'll do a miracle, right? You'll talk to the rock, and by the way, hitting rocks is also a big miracle if water comes out when you hit a rock, but whether you're hitting it or talking to it, so you hit or talk to the rock, and the water's going to come out, and you'll use the water to feed the people and to feed the animals. So Rashi there says, mikan, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chas al mamon shel Yisrael, because he's giving them water also for the livestock. So what's Rashi's opinion? What's the makor? Is it from Negaim of Negei Bayis, or is it from this pasuk of Yishkises Ha'idav Es Bi'iram? So interestingly, the Yom Teruah on our Rashi here, so he points out that this could be just two different opinions based on what you hold in terms of Tzar Bali Chaim Dioraisa. If Tzar Bali Chaim is a Dioraisa principle, right? The Rav almost talks about whether Tzar Bali Chaim is definitely a din on the books. The question is, which book? Is it Dioraisa or is it a Dirabban on the idea of Tzar Bali Chaim? The Rambam famously quotes the Makar of Tzar Bali Chaim is from the story of Bilam. But what is the source for Tzar Bali Chaim? Where do we learn it from? So if Tzar Bali Chaim is a Dioraisa principle, so the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu needs to feed the animals, they don't die, is not because, by the point in a second. Is not because of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chas al mamon and shal Yisrael. It's because of Tzar Balei Chaim. But if you learn Tzar Balei Chaim is only derabbanan, so then that could be the source. The sugya, the discussion there, feeding the animals, could be the source that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chas al mamon and shal Yisrael. By the way, Rav Shechter, I've heard him say in Shir that the whole discussion about whether Tzar Balei Chaim is d'oraisa or not is not regarding actual active Tzar Balei Chaim. To go over and beat an animal with a stick, everyone holds is an Isser d'oraisa. That's Tzar Balei Chaim. That's not the discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara about Tzar Balei Chaim, where it says, is it d'oraisa or not, is discussing the mitzvah of prika, which is to help unload an animal that's being crushed by the load on his back. That is passive Tzar Balei Chaim, meaning the animal already has the package on his back and he's suffering. You want to alleviate it of its pain. Now, do you have a chi of d'oraisa to alleviate it of its pain, or is it only a d'rabbanan? But active Tzar Balei Chaim is definitely d'oraisa. So that would be consistent with what we're talking about here, that we're talking about feeding the animals, giving the animals water. So that's not actively inflicting pain on the animal, that's removing pain by feeding the animal. Okay, one last ha'ara about this is Rabbeinu Gershom, I put it on the source sheet in Chulin, when the topic of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chas al mamon shel Yisrael, so Rabbeinu Gershom, you know what source he brings? He says, how do we know that Hashem is chas al mamon shel Yisrael? Because you make the chatzotzos out of silver, not out of gold. So he, unlike Rashi, who feels the need to give a back source for our sugya, and to explain why we are making the chatzot, the Rabbeinu Gershom says, "What do you mean? This is good enough. The Torah says to make it out of silver. This is a great source right here for the idea of Kadosh Baruch Hu's chas al mamon and shel Yisrael." Okay, going on in the Gemara. So the Gemara here talks about the mitzvah of the chatzotzos, and the Gemara tells us. Rav Papa Rav Shmuel Sever LeMevad Uvda. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel wanted to, and Rashi tells us, he wanted to blow chatzotzos and shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbah comes along and says that the din is only in the mikdash, and he brings a pasuk of v'chatzotzos v'kol shofar, heriu lifnei amelech Hashem, and lifnei Hashem is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, the mikdash, and therefore it's only b'mikdash that we blow both the chatzotzos and the shofar. So I'd like to address two points about this. The first one is something that I think some of you got a chance to see, and it's quoted by a lot of the Rishonim bring up, the Minhag HaGaonim. It's brought down, if you look in the Otzer HaGaonim on our Masechta, so he quotes there that the Minhag in the Yeshivos was that on Ta'anios, they used to blow a shofar during davening on fast days. So there are two issues that we, regular fast days, so two issues that we need to address. Issue number one, why they blowing a shofar, not chatzotzos? The Gemara says you're supposed to blow chatzotzos. That's the mitzvah sayom is b'chatzotzos. And issue number two is, even if we can explain why they're blowing shofars and not chatzotzos, why don't we blow a shofar on a fast day? It does sound like in the Mishnah that there would be a mitzvah to blow the shofar and the chatzotzos. So issue number one is the minhag that they use the shofar. Why did they use the shofar and not chatzotzos? So on the most simplistic level, we can explain this purely technical reasons. What's a nice technical reason why we don't blow chatzotzos nowadays? We don't know how to make the chatzotzos. That's what Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that they didn't know exactly how to make the chatzotzos, so they blew the shofar. They didn't know how to make the chatzotzos. The idea that the shofar could replace the chatzotzos, who said? Maybe it's two different things. Chatzotzos, like, why don't they blow a, you know, why don't they play a guitar? Like, if they don't have a chatzotzos, so we'll play a guitar instead. Why would you think that the shofar could take the place of the chatzotzos? The Ramban, though, addresses this directly, takes the question head-on. The Baal Mor is the one who raises the question. They all call from Rav Zerachi Halevi. Rav Zerachi Halevi is the Baal Mor. So they all ask from the Baal Mor. He says, I don't understand why in the minhag of the Gaonim was that they used to blow a shofar on fast days. So the Ramban quotes from the Mishnah in Tanis, and the Mishnah in Tanis says, we know that there was a whole procedure when there was a drought, when there wasn't rain. They would first institute some basic ta'anios. If our tefillos weren't answered, they would institute more intense ta'anios. So the Mishnah there is describing the increase in intensivity of the ta'anios. And it says there that at a certain level, they would start, the Lashon of the Mishnah is, they would start to be matriyin, mem, tough, resh. matrian, and they would close the stores. So the Gemara asks, what is this word? What does this mean, matrian? So there's two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion the Gemara means says that it means that they would blow the shofar. Oh, but the real word, it should be marian, without a tuf, not matrian. Rashi explains that that's the part of the issue here. But that's one opinion in the Gemara. And the other opinion in the Gemara means that they would start to say special anenu brachas. The Gemara goes back and forth. The Ramban quoted this Gemara, so you might have looked it up. And Gemara's maskan at the end of the day is that everybody agrees that you would blow the shofar. It was just a discussion about whether you would say the anenu. So the Ramban basically has dug up a Gemara in the middle of Maseches Tanis that is explicit. They used to blow a shofar on certain fast days, when the fast days would start to get more intense. He then also quotes from the Yerushalmi, and this is the real slam dunk. The Yerushalmi says that one of the Amorayim on the fast days wanted to blow the Chatzotzros, and the Gemara responds that, don't you know that that Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah is only b'mikdash, as Dr. Zitter pointed out yesterday at the end of Shir. Don't you know that that's only in Mikdash, that Mishnah about blowing the Chatzotzos? So the Ramban says that, so we already have built a case that the Chi of Chatzotzos is only b'mikdash. He then adds another point, which the whole idea of Chatzotzos is Knufi l'kol ha'am. It has something to do with congregating and to call out in order to bring everyone to congregate together. He said that that wasn't something that you had to do in every individual city or every individual minyan. That was something that was connected to Beis HaMikdash. And therefore the Ramban answers the question and says that the chiyuv of blowing shofar is something that's documented in Maseches Tanis and the Mishnayos. You do blow a shofar, and we're going to see the Rambam in Hilchos Taniyos soon. There is a chiyuv to blow a shofar on a fast day. And this whole idea of Chatzotzos is just in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why they did in the yeshivas in Babel, they didn't blow the shofar. The Rashba gives a different explanation. Rashba is a Talmud of the Ramban. He quotes the Ramban first, that maybe Chatzotzos is only a mitzvah in Beis HaMikdash. And then he suggests, within our sugya, a different reading of the Gemara. When the Gemara says, b'makom Chatzotzos ein shofar, b'makom shofar ein Chatzotzos, it doesn't mean that there's one specifically that you need to use. It just means that you only use them together in Beis HaMikdash. But it's not that a Tanis needs Chatzotzros as opposed to shofar. If you want, you can blow the shofar also. It's just that only in Mikdash do we blow both at the same time. And that was the point of the Gemara. Not that on the Tanis is the Chatzotzros and not shofar. And Rosh Hashanah is shofar and not Chatzotzros. But rather that you only blow both in the Beis HaMikdash. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, you blow one. So whether it's the Ramban's approach, whether it's the Rashba, the Rishonim feel that they have justified the practice of them blowing the shofar in Bavel. Now the question is raised, though, that's very nice, but then how come nowadays we don't blow a shofar? And if, sure enough, if you look at the Magen Avram in Shulchan Aruch, he leaves us as a Tzarachian. He doesn't know why nowadays we don't blow a shofar on a fast day. Take a question in 1 second. However, the Achronim, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, the Achronim say that the Pasuk says, Kisavo milchama ba'artzichem, and there's a stress here on artzichem, and therefore perhaps the din of blowing the shofar, b'shas ha'tzara, b'shas ha'tanis, is only ba'artzichem, is only in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so what about in Eretz Yisrael? So the Mishnah Berurah adds, artzichem doesn't just mean Eretz Yisrael, but it means when it is your land, when you're in control of the land. So in Achanami, in the year 1900, maybe the Mishnah Berurah was making a good point that we don't yet have control of the land. But nowadays, when we have control of Eretz Yisrael, so the Mishnah Berurah throws in, there also has to be a mikdash. He doesn't bring a source for that. He says that artzichem means it has to be in your hands, and there has to be a mikdash. So we live, Baruch Hashem, in a time where we're sort of in the middle. We don't have mikdash yet, but it would be very hard to claim that Eretz Yisrael is not in our hands. It certainly is in our hands, Baruch Hashem. So this would raise the question of nowadays, should there be shofars blown at the time of a fast day? But be that as it may, that still remains an open question, and we'll leave that to the poskim to decide if we should be blowing shofar. Question?
Could you clarify for me what you mean by Taneos Begonim?
Yeah,
I'm not clear. Are you talking about 5 Taneos that we're Masana today?
Or the ones of...
I would have thought that the din of shofar, especially from the Tanis,
is dafka for Geshamim. So the Rambam...
Taneos we do today aren't really Taneos.
So the Rambam, if you look in Hilchos Taneos, the Rambam, he starts with Geshamim, but then he links them in Perek Gimel Dalad there. He links them to the ones that we do today, because for the Rambam, the Yisod of the Taniyos is tshuva, and that our chataim are what are preventing the rain. And he says that the fast days that we commemorate past events are also, don't, he calls it achzarius, to look at them as just commemorative events, but they're also because of our chataim, and he links the two, that the yisod is the same by both of them, that both are in order to bring out tshuva, just like a lack of rain is because of sins, so too the historical events are not just historical events, but because we continue with our chataim. So you're right that the primary ta'anios, the Rambam is very clear, the primary ta'anios are the geshamim ta'anios, but he links them to the commemorative ones as well. Okay, I would like to take one last discussion for today, and that is the mitzvah of chatzotzer, something that's not often talked about and something that I think is very fascinating. And what is the mitzvah of blowing the chatzotzer? So we already started to allude to it a little bit with the Ritva and the Turei Evan about what the mitzvah exactly is of the chatzotzer. In the Psukim in the Torah, the chatzotzos are identified as having elements that are mitzvos l'sha and elements that are l'doros. The mitzvos that are l'sha, we're told that in the desert, the chatzotzos will be used mikra ha'eda to call everyone together if there's going to be an announcement. And masa ha'machanos, when it's time to travel, you're going to blow the shofaros. As you would imagine, the Rambam does not codify either of those lahalacha, because we know that the Rambam codifies as the 613 mitzvos only those mitzvos that are ledoros, not those that are l'sha. And therefore, to initiate travel or to call everybody together in the desert, those are not mitzvos ledoros. However, the psukim do quote two mitzvos that are ledoros. The Torah tells us, v'chisavo milchama ba'artzichem al hatzarat sorer eschem, if there's a war, Fari osim b'chatzotzos, so you'll blow the chatzotzos, v'nizkartim b'nei Hashem lokechem, v'noshatim yoyvechem, you'll be remembered by Hashem, and you will be saved from your enemies. That's Pasuk Tes in Perek Yud of Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar. Uv'yom simchaschem, the next Pasuk, uv'yom simchaschem v'mo'adeichem, on your happy days, on your holidays, u'b'roshe chatshechem, Uskatim bechatzosos al oseichem v'yalzivchei shalmeichem v'yulochem lezikaron lefnei Hashem ani Hashem alokeichem. So in the psukim here, we have two other occasions. Besides the first two that we mentioned in the desert, there are two other occasions that can be mitzvos ledoros. One is b'shas tzara, specifically in the psukim, milchama. And the second occasion is b'shas akravas akarbonos b'yom simchastem v'modeichem v'roshei chatzeichem. So the Rambam, you'll take a look and you'll notice also, not in the Pesukim here, but the Pesukim elsewhere say that this is a tzivoy, this is a mitzvah that's specifically for the Kohanim. The Kohanim were the ones who blew the chatzotzer. So this is a mitzvah for the Kohanim. So I'd like to address three different elements of this mitzvah of chatzotzeros. The first one is the issue of the Eis Tzara. You'll notice that in the Pasuk it says, what's the Eis Tzara that we're describing? V'chisavo milchama ba'artzichem al hatzar hatzorer eschem. It sounds like it's specifically for a war that you will, for instance, we mentioned the chatzotzos at the time of Atziras Geshamim. That doesn't seem to be a mitzvah d'oraisa, so you don't see that in the Pasukim anywhere. The Pasuk says, b'shas milchama, or hold on one second, hatzar hatzorer is an enemy.
No, why can't
you say hatzar hatzorer means an enemy who is coming against you. V'chis doesn't mean tzara. Tzara tzara doesn't mean, it is the same word, but that's not what it means in the context of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, v'chisavo milchama ba'artzichem al hatzar hatzorer. Because an enemy is attacking you. That's why you're bil milchama. So, Chazal, though, in the Sifri, quote from Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva Omer, ein li ela bil milchama, shidafon, and he brings a sfina miturefis bayam. How do you know these other situations? Talmud Lomar, al hatzar hatzorer eschem. Being medayik in those words, even though that's not the pashas the psukim. So Chazal learn from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva learns that it implies not only b'shas milchama, but seemingly he brings a bunch of other examples. If there's a lack of rain, if there's some type of pestilence going on, that we would also blow the chatzotzros.
Rabbi Akiva is making a leap, though, because some of those
Some are personal. He even says Aisha Hamaksha Leleid. Even if a woman is right, that's a personal. Yes, 100%.
Wasn't there a special one that Moshe had? Special chatzotzros.
Yeah, but that right. That's a different discussion. Yeah. Not in this situation. This here is for seemingly national calamities, but Chazal, Rabbi Kiva seems to be learning even for personal tragedies, you would blow the shofar. Now the Rambam, this is a fascinating Rambam, especially when you start to get into the background here. The Rambam has a set of halachos in Hilchos Zmanim called Hilchos in Sefer Zmanim called Hilchos Ta'anios, the laws of a fast day. And sure enough, when the Rambam talks about the laws of a fast day, how does he start? Mitzvah saseh min haTorah to fast? No. Mitzvah saseh min haTorah to blow the chatzotzros. I'll call tzara shetabo al hatzibor. Mitzvah saseh min haTorah. When? To blow the chatzotzros, I'll call tzara shetabo al hatzibor. Shenemar al hatzara tzorer eschem. So what's he quoting? He's quoting the Sifri. This is, right? He's learning the words tzara tzorer is called tzara. That's Tabal Tzibur. And this is the introduction to Hilchos Ta'anios. It's almost as if, like, this is the mitzvah of Hilchos Ta'anios, is to blow the chatzotzros. Then he says, this is Darchei Tshuva. And then not until Halacha Dalad does he say, Umidivrei Sofrim. The whole purpose of the chatzotzros is to inspire us to do tshuva. That's the mitzvah d'oraisa, b'shas, let's say, Atziras Geshamim. And Midrabbanan, they said you should also fast in order to accomplish this goal. So you see that the fast day is also Midarchei Atshuva, and the purpose we fast is Midarchei Atshuva. But it's interesting, Hilchos Ta'anios starts off, the first three halachos are all about the mitzvah d'oraisa of blowing the chatzotzros. Okay, so what does this do for us? So first of all, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, when the Rambam quotes the mitzvah of blowing the chatzotzros, so... It's interesting how he presents it. I think I put it on the source sheet. Anyone have the source sheet here I can borrow for a second? The way that the Rambam presents it in Mitzvah Saseh Nun Tes, the 59th mitzvah is Shetzivonu L'tkoa B'chatzotzros B'mikdash Im HaKravos Kol Karbon. That's the mitzvah, to blow the chatzotzros B'shas Karbonos. As it says, V'yom Simchaschem. U'bebir Amru, it says in the Gemara, Mitzvah Sayom B'chatzotzros. Ukvar Isbaru Mishpate Mitzvah Zu in the Sifri and in Rosh Hashanah. Sounds like the end of the halacha. Then the last line the Rambam throws in, V'chein anachnu mitzuvim l'tkoa b'chatzotzos b'itos hatzorech. There's also a mitzvah to do it at the right times, v'hatzoros. Kishin nizak lifnei Hashem yisala, v'hu omru v'chisabo milchama b'artzecheb al hatzara tzorer eschem. So the Rambam says, seemingly, presents as the Iker mitzvah, the mitzvah of blowing it b'shas the karbonos, and then he throws in, and you should also do it at the time of shas atzorech, like for instance, b'shas milchama. So, it's important, first of all, just to be mayor, that the Rambam seems to present as the Iker mitzvah, the mitzvah of the karbonos. The Smag, and this is pointed out by the Hagos Maimonios, the Smag, who was one of the Ashkenazim, one of the Bali Tosfos, and a lot of his Sefer is based on the Rambam. So if you look at the Smag was one of the first of the Rishonim in Ashkenaz to use, he was probably the first to use the Rambam systematically. And if you look at his Sefer HaMitzvos, he almost every single mitzvah quotes verbatim from the Rambam and paraphrases the Rambam throughout. The Smag was very heavily influenced by the Rambam, and yet the Smag, when he counts this mitzvah, does the opposite. The Smag says that the Iker mitzvah is to blow the, and he doesn't, to blow B'shas Muhammad, he doesn't even mention B'shas HaKarbonos. But that's the first Ha'ara that I just wanted to point out, is that the idea of blowing it B'eis Tzara is learned out from Chazal. The Pasha, the Psukim, is specifically B'eis HaMuhammad. Now, the question that arises from this Rambam is, why does the Rambam include both in the same mitzvah? Why does he make as one mitzvah to blow the Chatzosis B'shas Muhammad and to blow them b'shas akravos akarbonos? One would think that these are not the same mitzvah. First of all, they're learned from two different psukim. They might be one right after each other, but they're two different psukim. To blow b'shas milchama, or any tzara, and to blow b'shas akravos akarbonos. Seemingly, there isn't an obvious connection between the two. That's number one. To strengthen the question, we also know that there's a mitzvah to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Yovel. The Rambam doesn't count those as one mitzvah. In fact, the Rambam writes in Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Zayin, Mitzvah Saseh to be Tokeh the shofar on Yovel, Basiri Mitzishrei during the Yovel, in order to free the slaves and to free the land and to have the lands go back. And he says, Ve'ein inyona inyan tkiyas Rosh Hashanah, because that's to be Zikaron Lifnei Hashem. V'zeh lehotzi ha'avadim. So the Rambam is almost speaking defensively here. Why did I count the mitzvah of tkiya shofar on Yovel as an independent mitzvah from tkiya shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Because they're totally different mitzvahs. One is for to be nizkar lefnei Hashem. One is to free the slaves. So it just continues to further the question, if the Rambam has already told us regarding blowing the shofar, that when it's two different types of blowing for different reasons, you count it as two different mitzvahs, why does the Rambam count in one mitzvah the mitzvah to blow the chatzosos b'shas mechama and to blow the chatzosos b'shas ha-karbon? The Mishnah Lamelech points out that we even, the Zmanim aren't even, you know, who cares, the way he words it is, who cares that they happen to have the same Maisa mitzvah? And he quotes as an example to support his question, he quotes the mitzvah of Shvisa on Yontif. The Rambam counts as an independent mitzvah that you can't do malacha on the first day of Pesach, you can't do malacha on the seventh day of Pesach, you can't do malacha on Sukkot, he counts as all as independent mitzvahs. Oh, it's the same mitzvah of Shvisa, yeah, but it's different Zmanim. So, alachas kama v'kama here. You're blowing b'shas milchama. You're showing b'shas hakrobas harkobanas. Why does the Rambam count it as one mitzvah? So, this is a popular topic in the Achronim to try to figure out, to give a pshat in the Rambam. I'll share two mahachim with you. One is, and this is going to, obviously, the direction is going to be the same. We're going to have to try to identify some common denominator between them that's going to be able to justify, right? The Rambam, the Lashon of the Rambam was, for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, in Yonim Shonim. They were different in Yonim. So we're going to have to try, if we're going to try to be consistent within the Rambam, to show that it's Indian Echad, blowing the Chatzotros at the Shas Mechama and B'Shas HaKrovas HaKrobanos. So one is, based on the Chinuch says that why did they, in the mitzvah of the Chatzotros, he says, why did they blow the Chatzotros, right? And he always gives the Shar Shea mitzvah. Why did they blow the Chatzotros B'Shas the Karbanos? Why do you need musical accompaniment during the Karbanos? So, and I call it musical accompaniment because the Chinuch there says, those who know music recognize the power of music on a person. My father-in-law is very musical, so he quotes this Chinuch often, where the Chinuch starts talking all about the power of music when he talks about the mitzvah of Chatzotzos. And the Chinuch says...
Depends on the Shletzer.
So, right. So the Chinuch says that the mitzvah of, the reason why we blow the chatzotzos, b'shas the karbon, is because the karbon is a very, very deep thing. That's the English translation of the quote. And therefore, the chatzotzos are needed in order to be mechavein, the kohanim, that they should have the proper kavanos when they're bringing the karbon. So one would be able to suggest, if that's the case, that that could be a similarity here between the milchama and the karbonos. That by both of them, and I would maybe even add that by both of them, you're doing very physical actions. You're slaughtering animals or you're on the battlefield. And if the Torah would like us to not just get swept up in the physical action that's going on, but to also recognize the deeper meaning that's going on behind what you're doing, so that could be the idea of the chatzotzos at both of them, that the chatzotzos are there to remind you while you're on the battlefield. They're blowing the chatzotzos to remind you that this is a milchama that's going to not to do it in the standard way that milchama is done, and it's not just a physical battle, but there's a spiritual element as well, and that would be the case by the karbanos. To strengthen this and to add a just slightly different perspective, there's a word that's used in both psukim that might be highlighting a common theme between them. When we go to the next pasuk, both psukim highlight that the shofar, that the chatzotzos will be there to be a zikaron, that you will be remembered. So there is certainly a thematic correlation going on here between the two times that we're doing this, that they're supposed to be a zikaron. They're supposed to be that the purpose of them is to connect to some deeper thing that's going on. I would actually even point out the Rav, apparently from his grandfather Rav Chaim, used to note in a number of different locations that if you look at the Rambam and you compare the koteret of the Rambam, the beginning of each section of halacha, the Rambam always has a little bit of an introductory statement, a koteret. He says, mitzvah saseh achas, or there are five mitzvos in this section. And he'll tell you the koteret and then tell you a little bit about what the mitzvah or mitzvos are that appear in this section of halachos. The Rav used to often point out the difference between the way the Rambam formulates the mitzvah in the koteret and how he formulates the mitzvah in the actual halachos. So if you look in Hilchos Taniyos, it's interesting. The Rambam says, mitzvah sase achas, lizok lifnei Hashem, b'chol eis tzara. What does lizok mean? To cry out. There's a mitzvah to cry out to Hashem whenever there's an eis tzara. No mention of the chatzotzros. Then in the actual halachos, he says, mitzvah sase lizok ulahariya b'chatzotzros. So the Rav asked, why doesn't the Rambam say that in that koteret? So the Rav said in a couple of locations that the difference between the halachos and the koteret is that in the koteret, the Rambam stresses the kiyum mitzvah, what the mitzvah is there to accomplish. And in the halachos, the Rambam tells you the maisa mitzvah. The halachos, what do you need to do? And the Rav suggested that the maisa mitzvah is blowing the chatzotzros. But that's not the kiyum mitzvah. The kiyum mitzvah is that by hearing the chatzotzros, you will be inspired to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and turn to him in tefillah and turn to him and recognize that he's the source of the tzara. And therefore, the Rambam specifically left out of the koteret any mention of the chatzotzos, even though that's the mitzvah, because the purpose of the mitzvah is to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I thought that borrowing that idea, we could perhaps suggest that both by the chatzotzos b'shas karbon and the chatzotzos b'shas milchama, the reason why the Rambam counts them as the same is because both of them have the same idea. The maisa mitzvah might be to blow the shofar. And all the Mefarshei Rambam said, hey, it's the same maisa, but why are you counting it as the same mitzvah? That's exactly the point. They're counting the same mitzvah not because they have the same maisa, but because they have the same kiyum. The mitzvah by both is to be niskartem lifnei Hashem. And in fact, it would explain to us a little bit of a cryptic cheskuni. I don't know, there's another stage of explanation that's going to be needed, so this will only be a miksas hesber of the cheskuni. But the cheskuni says on the pasuk, v'yulechem lezikaron v'noshatem, about when we're in milchama, we're going to blow the chatzotzros, and then we will be saved, says the cheskuni, that there's a link here between the psukim. Shaharei biyom simchaschem, meaning the moadeichem, you're going to blow the shofar, the chatzotzos, and then you'll be tkatem v'tariu l'milchama, yizkor lachem schus hakarbonos v'noshatem. The cheskuni says, you know why the psukim are put next to each other? Because there's a very deep link here. You're going to do the karbonos, and then you know what Klal Yisrael's schus is? This is the part that I don't have the explanation for. The zechus to be successful in milchama is the karbanos. And that is why the cheskuni says, we blow the chatzosos b'shas milchama, to invoke the zechus of the karbanos that are also done with chatzotzros, and v'noshatem, and that's why you'll be saved. So I don't have an explanation. That I'll leave to the Bali Drush to explain why, what the thematic connection is, why this chus of the karbanos is why we're going to be successful, but we can at least explain the cheskuni that we have here on the books, that the chus of success, b'shas milchama, will be because we brought karbanos properly, and both of those things, therefore, the chatzotzos is going to be significant that both have that. All right, one last point while I'm with this. I know we're already 2 or 3 minutes over time, so I'll try to just run through it quickly. There is one last famous machlokas Rishonim regarding the chatzotzos, which is good to know and very important to know, and it would be a shame to leave it out if we're talking about the chatzotzos. The Sefer HaChinuch, the Rambam, as we saw, the Rambam only says that when you blow the chatzotzos, b'shas karbonos, yom simchaschem, v'moadeichem, u'b'roshei chadsheichem. The Chinuch brings that they also blew the chatzotzos every day, b'shas akrabos hatmidim. The Rambam, you look and say for Mishnah Torah, the Rambam doesn't mention that anywhere. The Sefer HaChinuch brings it down, though, that b'shas ha-tmidim, they would bring the chatzotzos. This is a big machlokes. Every day in the Beis Hamikdash, when they brought the tmidim, did they blow the chatzotzos, or did they not blow the chatzotzos? Now, the Chinuch has two really, really great rayas for it. One's later in our parak, and I guess I'll point it out when we get up to it. And another is a Mishnah and Talmud, which are very, very beautiful, and really, like, as I made reference before, real slam-dunk rayas that there's a mitzvah b'shas Hakravas hatmidim every day. So the question is, why does the Rambam leave it out? Why doesn't he mention it here? So a couple of very, very quick suggestions. One could be that the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, at least in Sefer HaMitzvos, you know, I'll skip that for now. I'll give one quick explanation, and just not to take too much time. It could be that the reason why the Rambam doesn't bring it down in Sefer HaMitzvos as part of the mitzvah is because the mitzvah of the chatzotros is not an independent mitzvah b'shas ha-tmidim, but it's actually one of the details of the mitzvah of karban tamid. Like, for instance, the Rambam doesn't count as a separate mitzvah the mitzvah of bringing nesachim b'shas the tmidim. Why? Because the nesachim is part of the mitzvah of the hakrabas ha-tmidim. At prat, one of the Rambam shorashim is that we only count as a mitzvah the main categories, not all of the chalokim of a mitzvah, are not counted as an independent mitzvah. And therefore, there are those who suggest that the reason he doesn't bring it down in Sefer HaMitzvos, at least, is because it's only a detail in the mitzvah of Hakrabas HaTmidim. The question still remains why the Ram doesn't mention it in Mishneh Torah. We'll see. Maybe next time we'll speak about it, maybe not, but I don't like going over time, so we'll, and I already am, so we'll stop here for today.